Nehemiah chapter 13. We begin our study in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah 13, verse 1. On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. And there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God. The people were taught the Bible by Nehemiah. And once again, they realized that they had been sinning. The Ammonites and the Moabites were longtime enemies of the Jews. They were idolaters, and they led God's people into idolatry. And for that reason, God said, Israel, do not let them join your assembly. Don't welcome them in to your midst. Don't hang out with them. Certainly, don't let them be a part of their religion if they haven't repented. 2, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the Israelites were traveling into the promised land, they were mean to them. They tried to hurt God's people through occult practices, which didn't work because God saved them. But the point is, they tried. They were bad people. 3. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were foreign descendant. Well, God cares about all people. Don't get the idea that he doesn't. And he would have welcomed any Moabite or Ammonite who would truly repent. But God loves his children also. Consequently, he didn't want any unrepenting sinner among them, corrupting them. That was the reason for this prohibition. 4. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil prescribed for the Levites, singers, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. And so while Nehemiah was living in Persia, the priest, Eliashib, allowed an Ammonite, a bad one, who had actually opposed the rebuilding of the Jerusalem wall, he allowed this man, Tobiah, to live in the temple complex. 6. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Some time later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased, and I threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. So Nehemiah was gone for a while, and while he was gone, all sorts of corruption seeped back into the lifestyle of the Israelites. And while Nehemiah was living in Persia, this terrible thing happened with Tobiah being allowed to stay in the holy temple complex. And, you know, Nehemiah was a nice guy. He was a man of God, but he hated sin because he loved God. And as a result, he threw that Ammonite out of the temple, him and all of his belongings too. 10. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and singers responsible for their service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. The people had promised God that they would bring their tithes and offerings to the temple. But they broke their promise. And as a result, the ministers, the Levites, had to leave the temple, and they had to work a secular job to have their needs met. And the result of that was that the temple and the ministry of the Lord suffered. And so Nehemiah discovered that when he got home too. 12. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storehouses. I put Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan, son of Zakur, the son of Mathaniah, their assistant, because these men were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their brothers. Well, the people, once again, in response to Nehemiah's preaching of the word of God, no doubt, they started bringing their tithes and their offerings to the temple again, and Nehemiah put honest men in charge of the offerings. And then verse 14, remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services. Nehemiah was a man of prayer, and so he prayed that the offerings would continue to come in for the work of God. 15, in those days I saw men in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on the donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore I warned them against selling food on that day. Nehemiah was a spiritual policeman. He had to be, because the people were doing many things wrong. And we see here they were working on the Sabbath, which was a sin. So Nehemiah confronted them about it. 16. Men from Tyre, who lived in Jerusalem, were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. See, the seventh day was a special day ordained by God. Remember the Sabbath day, he said, and keep it holy. It was to be devoted to rest and worship. But the people were treating it as if it was a day like any other. 17. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this wicked thing that you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your forefathers do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity upon us and upon this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath. God had punished Israel earlier because they didn't keep the Sabbath, and here they are committing the same sins. And what's worse is the leadership in Jerusalem didn't stop them. What good is a leader who doesn't lead with the word of God as his guide? No good. And so Nehemiah rebukes the leadership. Verse 19. When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem, before the Sabbath I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem, but I warned them and said, why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will lay my hands on you. And from that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. In verse 22, then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. The people wouldn't obey God on their own, so Nehemiah legislated morality. And it was right for him as the leader to do that, because the ongoing sin of even a few people can ruin an entire nation. And remember, Israel was a theocracy. God was her king. Verse 23, remember me for this also, O my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. Well, now here's another thing. God had ordered his people not to marry the heathen. His people promised that they wouldn't, but they did anyway. And this was a terrible sin, which if allowed to go on, would lead to corruption and idolatry throughout the land. 25. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves." Nehemiah meant business when it came to opposing sin. You know, in Israel, it wasn't just a sin to commit sin. Because it was a theocracy, it was against the law to commit sin. And Nehemiah enforced that law. And the punishment was harsh, but the people knew he was right, so they fell in line. 26. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. You know, so if the people were thinking, yeah, but we can get away with it, God will make an exception in our case. No, Nehemiah reminds them that they had not learned from Israel's past mistakes, and so they repeated them. And Nehemiah, as a result, had to teach them the hard way. Verse 27. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? And I can tell you this, what was true for the Israelites is true for Christians today. This same prohibition is repeated crystal clearly in the New Testament. It is not right for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. It is unfaithfulness to God for a Christian to do that. And one of the sons, verse 28, of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. So the grandson of Eliashib, the chief priest, was even involved in a mixed marriage. Nehemiah wouldn't have anything to do with that sinner. He was so disgusted with what was going on here. 29. Remember them, O my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priest and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, O my God. Nehemiah was a blessing to Israel. Whether they appreciated him or not, they were fortunate to have someone who cared enough about God and them to enforce what was right. He fought sinful corruption at every level, because as the Bible says, any nation that forgets God will go to hell. I'll see you next time in the book of Esther. Until then, so long, everyone.